is Around the Nation on Triple M. Good afternoon, everybody. It's myself, Tony Martin. We've got Ed Gavely.
Nasty.
Oh, pushing the buttons, Richard Marsland.
And downright boring.
Oh, yes.
He's turned on us.
Wow. Now, is everyone here? Is everyone accounted for?
First of all, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being so patient. I didn't used to make such a great entrance, so I really do apologise for it, but being an election campaign, sometimes things go awry.
Well, that's very unprofessional, Mr. Abbott.
Sure, but not to put this on point, but shit happens, Tony.
Hey,
what's the magic?
Kids getting out of school. Shit. All right, is that all the interruptions, Richard?
Nobody can escape the marauding Prime Minister. They're going to come and visit him. They even interrupt the cadets again.
Take the Dorothy the Dinosaur costume off, dude.
All right, calm down. Mind you, none of that is confronting us what was going on during the song.
Mm.
Our guest in the next hour, Rob Carlton, doing a press fruit bowl. Up against the glass.
Mm.
And accidentally teabagging Cecilia on the phone in the process.
That's a good day.
Sure is.
You pushed the buttons today, Rich.
I know. I've got a few extra limbs. It's an extension of my body.
Well, that.
I
don't need to hear extra limbs when you're talking about pushing your buttons, Rich.
I'm playing Oh Susanna on the piano.
Like you were with Pauline Hanson that time.
Oh.
We had so many requests to replay, one of our biggest sex scandals of the year, when Richard Marsland hooked up with Pauline Hanson.
And she's claiming
Richard
and her had a thing that started in this camera itself in 1996. And then it's been a week.
Greg is right. I had smoke coming out of my underpants for days. We had to take the smoke detectors out of the room. Not that there was any.
It was a camera motel room after all. So you can say categorically you never had sex with Pauline Hanson.
I'm not saying anything of the sort. She was hot. And the constant undercurrent of racism just added fuel to the fire.
I don't understand why you're so aggressive in this denial of something that I believe and many other people believe happened.
I'm not denying it. She's the hottest bigot I've ever voted for.
Well, this is what they say. I'll fix you up.
My private life.
Oh, leave it out, Pauline. It wasn't that private when we were doing it short bus style at the salad bar at that Canberra knocking shop.
Now, she not only named the motel and the month it started, she even claims he cooked her dinner there, though the menu was unclear.
I'll tell you what was on the menu. One Nation Tale. Three courses, each one steamier than the one before.
I have absolutely no doubt.
Richard
and Pauline had a sexual relationship.
Of course we did. Look at this. Talk about worn out. I'll never be able to see that again.
Right, so then give her quite a serious kiss when she stepped out of an elevator.
Look, she didn't require a please explain when I suggested going down.
They just did, and I didn't see them again for 40 or 50 minutes. In fact, I'd gone to sleep in the car while I was waiting for them to come back.
I had a lot to do. It takes quite a while to go round the grounds with Pauline. I mean, she's constantly stopping to bag out the Asians.
Don't worry, Pauline. I won't go bloody to the press with any fine across the
phone. I'm worried that it's going to suggest to you that they slept together on what was essentially a first date. So, yeah, it was very poor form and pretty bad reflection there, I think.
Hey, don't blame Pauline. How could she resist my pavement T-shirt
and collection of Matthew McConaughey movies?
We'll have to wait for the book launch to get Pauline's responses.
But we did conduct a straw poll today to see who you believe is gospel and who's telling the talking.
I believe in Pauline Hanson or something.
Richard Marsland.
I don't like Pauline Hanson.
Marsland.
If you stay with her, if not, I would. I believe her.
Is it true Richard Marsland offered to demonstrate the turkey grip?
Is it true?
Hey, look, the only way to settle this is with a lie detector, okay? Although she didn't have any trouble detecting me lying beneath her with my
What is it? There's a lot of detectors lately. How it gets with that report.
We're going to the studio, shall we? And we'll be back with Drunk for New Deal next. Come get this.
We'll be right back.
anxious or sorry.
Around the nation on Triple M, winding up in 3.5 weeks. I'm sure people have heard by now. Emails coming in thick and fast. People with ideas for our final week.
Yes.
What we should do. This bloke wants some theme weeks. He's saying Monday, Rex Hunterthon. Tuesday, little known fact from TV's Batman.
Yeah.
Wednesday, just all other crap TV shows. Police Ben Devon on the buses, man about the house. I don't know.
Well, they're not crap.
Take that as an insult. Thank you very much. Thursday, all fart joke Thursday, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What about Friday? Get lettuce stuck in your throat Friday, which is what I've managed to do today, Tone. So I'll either be coughing or talking shortly.
It's really bad.
Okay.
Can I get it out? Is it around the epiglottis?
I need an ear, nose and throat, dude.
Okay. In ears.
Do we have one on the floor?
Okay. Rob Carlton's outside. He'll be able to perform some kind of
thing. Oh, hang on, he's up in the glass again.
Put it away, sir. We will get you.
Sorry, Tony.
You don't look well today.
Oh, I'm really not. It's not happening.
So this is you're full of lettuce.
Yeah, I'm finally eating too much, and it's starting to come out perfectly formed. I'm like a vending machine.
Slap me and you'll get a lettuce. Maybe that's what we'll do on Friday, but
sorry to interrupt.
No, he wants to Stephen Segal do our spectacular on Friday. I don't know about these ideas. They all come from a man called Dave.
How come?
That's what he said his name is. That's right. We were hearing a bit of Police 10-7. Everyone loves hearing this line.
Assault! Assault! You touched the officer, sorry.
Now, on the Police 10-7 that went out on Fox 8 on the weekend, they had a sort of poor man's version of that because people love to do that.
Poor man's
that. When you get arrested, as soon as you get touched by someone, it's a physical assault.
Assault!
I think we've got an example. Hit that button, Rich.
All police are cleaning up the scene. A call comes in from Constable Kylie Crowley. She's been trying to deal with a drunk who's been causing trouble, and one of his friends, Peter, is trying to intervene.
Yeah, Rich,
I've got to
say
recognising the police 10-7 cameras and recognising the familiar police brutality check. Now, everyone wants to get on
it. They couldn't be less brutal.
That's right.
Were they baking him a cake at that point?
Probably.
Tucking him in?
Topping up his superannuation. They're very polite. Both the cops and the criminals.
Even he didn't sound convinced.
No.
Police brutality, I reckon. I reckon that might be police brutality. Oh, it hurts.
Ooh. What do you reckon, officer?
Oh, stop it.
But this bloke here, here's a bloke being pulled over on the side of the road. He hasn't got his seatbelt on.
No.
And the action unfolds.
To make matters worse, a quick check of the car reveals the balding tyre.
Oh, come on, kid, come on. You get fully nervous and you toss it out. I went to give you a ticket for your seat on the camera and get a cross seat on the way. They're pretty hot on there.
Sam, the driver, appears to be taking it all pretty well until he discovers the size of the phone.
You know, it's quite the one. Are you going to take a
ticket in there?
Yeah, true. Can you tell us all that? Take this on take a second in the car.
Okay, Doctor, the lady says she's got 150 bucks to pay for my camera for you.
That's what you reckon.
They're getting along like a house on fire.
Right.
They're getting together for a movie after the arrest.
Is that a rush hour in New Zealand style? See, I'm on TV, so they're trying to work out how the show operates. Maybe there's an appearance fee. Anyway, that bloke, he's been given the fine.
Yeah.
He's gone back to his car, and then more trouble has arisen.
But just as Glenn and Aaron are leaving, Stan decides to do a burn up on the state highway. But this time Stan's in for an even bigger shock. The fine for driving in a manner likely to cause annoyance is $600.
Go, leave me, can't drive all anyway. Come on, man's got to get back to work. Oh, that's not a thing, now, man. Well, we're smart. So can I go to a wheelie on my own driveway?
Yeah,
okay, so what a burnout looks like, eh? Come back with me.
This one's probably a little more expensive than the last one.
Come on now.
Oh, it's not clever, right? Don't know
what it is. Should be able to catch you real fast, man. What do you reckon?
Well, I reckon if you had the hand, I mean, so stupid and do the right price, you'd have been sweet, you'd have been copping another ticket.
What did I do? What did I do?
Doing a burnout right in front of us. I mean, that's not a good piece of work.
Burnout has come back to my place, I share with a burnout.
I was so keen on each other. He did something so they could go on a second date.
Exactly right. The relationship is building. But I love that, you know, that's the best line to say to a cop, I find. Why aren't you out catching real crooks?
There you go.
I'd like to think that, you know, when they arrested Ted Bundy and found 17 corpses in his basement, he was on about, kind of, oh, there must be some real crooks out there somewhere. But the relationship develops.
Put your head on. You're just not making any friends here.
Oh, once a couple of scenes on the roof, come on, sitting girl scene.
You've got to just be girl. But okay, so nothing has really gone terribly wrong. The guy's clocked up about $750 in fine. But here's what he's done, and this is visual, so we can't really play this bit. But as he walks back to his car, he hits the front of the bonnet of the cop car.
Oh, no.
Wipes his ass with the ticket.
Yeah, not bad. What, like pants down?
No. Keeps the pants on. Gets into his car and gives him the finger and screams off again. And you think that might be the end of it, because the cops are kind of laughing.
Okay.
But then cut to the cops driving up the road 10 minutes later, and here's what happens.
Oh,
at this point, most people would just drive away, but not Stan. He decides to follow the police car.
Now tailgating the cops.
Eventually, Aaron pulls over and Stan drives off into the distance.
The finger all the way.
Learns a lesson.
To the horizon. So I think we're going to have to get all these guys together, the assault guy, the Halcombe guy, that guy there.
He's not bad.
And we're going to
he was a little sober for mine.
There's going to have to be a glamorous award ceremony at some point.
A very get this Christmas. We get all those guys together and we celebrate. I'll bring the eggnog.
All right, let's celebrate now with Aerosmith. Jamie's got a gun here at Get This on Triple M around the nation, brought to you by the Nissan Navara. News of the year.
Okay.
We know that.
Okay.
Ample Grunt, and Ample Grunt has been writing into us, or someone claiming to hold that name. Stacey Borg, as we know, has been supporting us all year. Stacey Borg is a man, I've been asked to point out.
Like Tracy Cox. Is it, Tracy Walter, the actor from the Thomas Cox film.
Is Tracy Cox an actor in another type of film know about, Rich?
Maybe. Sexpo's coming up.
Stacey Borg did enter Borgus. It was a lazy attempt. I was the bearded man in the half-destroyed house wearing a beanie and holding, because the tape didn't hold, a laptop to my person, which I realised had already been done.
Yeah, it was okay.
Okay.
Pretty much just a bloke holding a laptop, though.
I think that was kind of the winner, wasn't it?
I think so.
All up on the gallery, the Borgus Gallery, still up there, part of the Get This Labyrinth shoot. It's still staying up there till we finish.
Yeah.
So many people emailing in, supporting us, not just myself and Richard and Ed, but our producer Nikki and her as-yet unborn child.
He's getting a lot of support.
Cecilia on the phone. And, of course, the guy who makes all our sketches, Matt Dower.
Who presumably now is being kept in some dungeon without electricity or air, tapping out Morse code.
That's right.
That's lucky.
That's pretty true. And, of course, nerds always behind us here on the program. For some reason, I don't know why we attract them. Could it be conversations like this one, which has been requested by a few people, the time we had Kevin
Smith on the show.
Oh, film director extraordinaire.
Man who made Clerks and Clerks 2 and so many other fine films. Mm. Press that button, Rich. Filmmaker Kevin Smith in with us.
I felt like I was back in 1982 listening to that class song.
1982. We were still in this country maybe a couple of years away from home video shops in those days.
Really?
Yeah.
I remember there was a guy my father used to work with. My father worked at the post office. Soul killing work, but we're all really proud of him because, you know, he worked at the post office 30 years and never managed to kill anybody. So he was at work with this dude named Bernie McRae, and Bernie had been married and had kids, but then one of those first divorcers, like, in our community, so, like, immediately went out and bought himself a porno van, like a van with, like, a Conan-type figure on one side with, like, a topless barbarian woman at his feet.
Yeah.
And he was the first guy that had a VHS player.
Wow.
And we stopped by his house at one point, and he was showing us bootlegs, the original bootlegs of, like, movies that weren't even available. And I remember he went to show us the video, and it was, you know, like, we'd never seen anything like the idea of being able to watch a movie when you wanted to, not wait till it was on, like, you know, the network or something like that, or see it in the cinema. And he pressed play on, you know, this behemoth of a machine, just as big as a Volkswagen. And there was a video, I guess, already in it to my what would be 8 or 9 year old eyes at that point. It looked like a woman speaking into a microphone.
Is this on?
But I was like, that microphone doesn't look like anybody. That dude fumbled for the machine so quickly. And my parents were like, ha-ha, ha-ha. It wasn't for years that I figured out what that scenario was. But I was just like, what movie was that? Why is she speaking so closely?
They had nothing like that in my local milk bar.
I remember they had two titles.
What were they? Porky's to the Next Day.
With film, right.
And The Wicker Man. These are
fun. And once you've seen both, you've shot your wad. You've got nothing. You've got nothing to watch between those two.
Did you write a few issues of The Green Arrow?
I did. I wrote maybe 12?
Well, I was a big fan of The Green Arrow when I was a kid.
Doing the shoes there, that's a superpower. He's really good at archery.
And there's the Justice League of America. I always felt sorry for the guys who had to be carried everywhere, you know, like Batman.
Right.
Some of them could fly if they had to go to emergency on the side of the world.
And they're like, Batman, you get Wonder Woman's invisible jet.
Yeah. And the Green Arrow, he was unable to fly.
Yeah, he was one of those dudes that had to carry his luggage more than anything else. And they only needed, he came in handy when they needed him to shoot like a boxing glove arrow across the room. To trip a button or something like that.
I remember as a kid having, even like at about 6 or 7 years old, having discussions about superheroes.
Mm-hmm.
Things like, well, hang on, if Superman's costume is like impervious to all bullets, how did his mum, like, sew it from the blankets into a costume? Like, did she have a needle made of kryptonite?
Right.
Like, we just spent days having discussions like that.
I made a career out of it, you know? It was the kind of thing that your parents would be like, grow up about, and then, like, one day I made a career out of it. You know, it's that Marvel kind of did away with that very quickly just by saying, like, all the costumes are made from unstable molecules.
There you go.
It was like that pseudoscience where people were like, well, I guess it's unstable molecules. Of course, it makes sense.
It was like on the Batman TV series when your kids came, well, they go down the poles and then they're in the costumes at the bottom. What's happening? They're on the way down. And then there was one episode of Batman where the Joker got into the Batcave and got onto the Batpoles and was going up and down, and they had a downward-looking shot from up in the study. You go, there's nothing. It's just poles all the way down. There's no mechanical arm putting the costumes on.
You blew the lid off of that TV show right there.
And then later on, you discover women. On Triple M, the emails coming in thick and fast for this program. Listen to this one here.
What do you got, Tom?
Well, this one is very interesting. This is from a woman called Jessica, who, thanks to this show, has met and begun a relationship with another lady.
Oh, what a weirdo.
Finally, mate.
Did we turn her off our sex so much?
Well, possibly. It's a beautiful email. And
hang on. Did their eyes meet?
Well, it's kind of to do with you. I feel like Casey Kasem,
not again.
Should be.
Not again.
Is it the Katie Lang thing?
Oh, no.
We need one of these, you know.
I have started so many lesbian relationships.
What did Casey Kasem used to call this? The long distance dedication?
That's right, yeah. Is that what it was called?
Long distance dedication. Maybe I'll read it out like that. Roughly a year ago, I was browsing his MySpace page, reading the comments people left him.
When I saw one from a very enthusiastic young lady, I decided to check out her MySpace. Upon noticing that she, like myself, was an avid Beatles fan, I decided to add her. We instantly bonded over our mutual love of Ed Gavely. And of course, get this. Now, we're the best of friends. I'm planning on moving in with her sometime soon. She's the best girl. And I have nobody to thank but you, Ed Gavely. I'll miss you. And Angus Sampson's sexy, sexy voice.
Nice.
There you go.
Oh, that is...
I don't know how to feel about that. You can see you're looking at me like, that's great. But there's no part of action in there for me.
What did this guy get? It's a beautiful story.
You built them together.
Yeah, you're the conduit between... What a beautiful, delightful story.
Yeah. But she's still quite keen on Angus Sampson, so you're still in with a chance there.
I've got a goodie mask on.
How do I feel about that, Tone?
All right, yeah, but
they better break people up, to be honest.
Oh, I did.
Oh, I don't know.
No, Michelle,
look at me like... Can I say why?
No,
you can't say why. And listeners, that's the point. Tony's got all these emails, Chris is pushing his buttons, and I say things like that, and everything just stops and they look at me.
Right, Ed, can we ruin some section of your life?
Rob Carlton will be in the next hour. He'll ruin part of your life, I'm sure.
I'm loving to.
The Get This Podcast 145.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that's up there.
Ground.
Rex Hunt is back.
Oh,
George McEncroe's in there. Eavesdropping Disasters. Versus Fire. Mr. Fury. Shock. So much in there. It's all free. Did I hear what I thought I heard? I'll just keep moving.
TripleN.com.au.
Get there. That's right. It's all, you know, up there now. And I think someone going up there tomorrow. People, though, are requesting the Nick Kershaw in the Outback sketch. I think we've played it enough on the show.
Enough of that.
But it will be on Get That, the best of Get This going out at the Baker-friendly time at 6 o'clock on Sunday morning. So check that out. Oh, so many more emails to get to, but a lot of people are saying, you know, promises, broken promises.
Yeah.
Ed Cavalier's broken a few.
Yeah, always.
But, you know, I've broken quite a few as well.
Have you, Tony?
Remember how many new segment ideas I had at the beginning of the year?
You were full of them.
That haven't come good. You want a new segment? What about this?
Upskirting across Australia. Taking no prisoners or permission.
Maybe we need some less offensive segments. That's not going to air.
Outrageous.
That wasn't for broadcast.
My bad.
We're not doing that segment. Jeez, Rich.
What about a segment for Ed Cavalier?
We'll be dating Cave or Cave.
That is such a long bow.
What a good segment.
Caver of Love?
I don't get it.
It's a flavor of love. With Flavor Flav, that's a long bow.
That is a great show.
We need another fantastic new segment idea. That's coming up.
Really?
I'm going to introduce a new environmental affairs segment.
Good.
Yeah. It's going to be called...
Now What's Melting?
That's going to tackle the whole global warming issue. People want a bit of that. We'll tell them what's melting and how long you've got to stand on it.
What's
that? Play well with our Arctic listeners.
What else do people... Talent. People love...
People love talent.
We are going to have so much talent in the studio.
Oh, good.
Over the next 10 months. And we're going to have our own talent segment called... That's going to be fantastic. What are the public obsessed with? Penis size, that's something that people are obsessed with.
Oh, yeah.
So, coming up from tomorrow...
That's
an unusual pairing. Oh, this is going to be great.
Idea.
How good will that be?
Really good. Good costumes.
I can't say that there'll be much distance work achieved.
No, it doesn't matter.
But the floats, that's what they'll be called, will be spectacular as
Absolutely.
I stumble from a jetty. Oh, we're going to obviously have more radio drama this year because Passion High was quite popular in 06.
Yeah, that was a good one.
What are we working on for 07?
And round the flag, boy.
Need to mention flag waving in 07.
I still don't know what it is.
Read the book.
Don't want it. You tell me what it is.
I can't in this time.
Oh, good.
Good then. And if I did, then I'm sure that would end up on our other new segment.
Pure humbug.
Pure humbug. What do you think of that, Mr. Prime Minister? And no truth to the segment, Let's Go Upskirting with Richard Martin. That never happened. Although often you will just feel a sort of shoe underneath your chair.
Then a flash.
And you'll just hear this sound. Everybody, get this. It's heard in Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane, and Adelaide.
Yes, that's right.
The home of Richard Martin. Hey, people are just like arriving in Adelaide right now, Rich, and they've got no idea what to do. What would you recommend?
I would recommend checking out the extended tram line. It's going all the way down to North Terrace. That's pretty exciting. It's changed the face of King William Street.
Yeah.
It's added pedestrianisation to the
northern
part of the city grid.
Yeah. That's good.
When
you say city grid,
yes.
You know, and is it really
North Terrace, West Terrace, South Terrace, East Terrace?
Like gridish, or is it a few streets?
Oh, yeah. The road. There's no curves in the city grid.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nobody flies the flag for South Australia like Richard Bartley.
Wave the flag.
That's true. Let's get up to it, back, Melton. Meanwhile, in New South Wales, listen to this. This is from Josh Reddy. He's got an invitation for us. He says, me and my mate get primed on Fridays listening to your podcast.
I told you.
What is that? Guzzling German beers. Mantown Beast. That's Manly. You guys are more than welcome and, in fact, invited to join us. Our shout. But let's get to the point. What are a brand new pair of newcomers called Bros? Oh, okay. Now that's a reference to your Warwick Capital.
Yes, and I believe there's a soundboard in progress.
Yeah.
So that people can do their own version. That's right. People can make their own Capicals.
Yeah.
I wish I had that soundboard when I actually did them in the original interview.
That's right. Yeah. Mr. Capital was in here to do a promotion for an 80s weekend. So Rich had him saying lines like,
I was flying around in pink helicopters, and a bright new pair of newcomers called Bros. Yeah. Had a lot of their feet.
That's right. Bros was a bag. It was three blokes, two Nazis, and an unnecessary third bloke.
There he is,
as I remember it.
Yeah. When will I be famous?
Yeah.
The big one.
I owe you nothing.
I owe you nothing with another one. Then I owe the record company millions, I think, was the follow up to that.
No, still not famous yet.
There it is.
For a while.
No one knows who I am.
Okay.
Why can't I get in here?
And
on my stomach was the last one.
You know. The irony. Listen to it. Those three guys who just lost their job. Let me just say that there's only one group of three blokes who will never get the sack from Triple M, and that's ZZ Top. I think
they've got runs on the board.
Their job will be saved forever.
Yeah.
Today on Forkback Mountain.
Oh, are we really doing this?
Yeah, man.
What is it?
What's delicious?
What's delicious?
So delicious.
No more Fergie. That sounded like Fergie-licious.
It was,
yeah.
Well, had to lined up a special sing-song.
But I got the music wrong. I couldn't do it.
So he was meant to sing What's Delicious.
Okay.
Fergie-licious.
You want to have another go?
Yeah, no. Have another go.
Nope.
Oh, okay.
Are you sure?
Bat and ball.
Nope.
That
and ball.
Not happy.
Dear, dear. Okay, so when somebody says something that's delicious, what do we hear?
We hear.
We hear the song?
So delicious.
You get a sound.
You can hear a high horse being saddled.
What's going on? When are you going to do it?
I'm not doing it.
You were rehearsing it in the office.
Yeah. Okay,
Cecilia on the phone insisted that I describe your rehearsals on air.
Which were?
Well, it was just you with headphones on, not realising how loud your voice was. I don't want to preempt this fantastic.
Well, I'm not doing it.
Okay, so when we find out what's delicious,
there it is.
Sorry, what was that?
Rob Carlton eating a banana.
Get out of it, Carlton. Don't put him away.
Oh, he's doing the best fruit bowl.
Goodness.
That's not delicious.
Fruit bowling us.
Is that how you promote it? You show off cocktail these days?
Work for America's Next Top Model.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what's delicious? Give me an example.
It's stuff on the side.
Oh, stuff on the side.
Okay.
Stuff
on the side.
So delicious.
The guy. So bad.
But you could do the song, obviously, when the music comes in.
Stuff.
Go into the song. Sound great in the office.
So stuff on the side, Rich, is delicious. Controlling how much aioli I have with stuff.
What is it? Oh, is that from that video?
It's from the Bloodhound Gang. At the very end, Foxtrot uniformed Charlie Kilo.
Right.
And at the very end, a man devours a banana.
Okay.
That's what that is.
I thought it was just Mr. Humphreys.
What's delicious, Tony?
What's delicious? Irony is delicious. I won't get us into trouble, but thank you very much to everyone around the network who has been faxing me the company's mission statement.
Hmm.
With the many ironies underlined. I don't need to say any more. You know who you are. Beautiful work. Very funny. I want a copy of this phone to my house.
Fantastic.
Okay, so it should really just be food, though, should it?
Let's stay with food.
Let's stay with food. Let's stay out of trouble. Mr. Marsden.
I was trying to convince some kids who came around to my house last night trick-or-treating that fruit and pistachio nuts were in fact delicious.
That is
beautiful. I can't do too much more of that.
So
it sounds. It's really heavy. Okay.
But so the kids showed up and they're like, trick or treat. And you're like, you came to the right place. Who likes apricot squares?
Yeah, dried apricots.
Oh.
A few pistachio nuts.
A few
pistachio nuts.
A handful of pistachios.
These are fine. Oh, except not too prime nuts these days, are they? With kids.
No. They're anti nuts.
Yeah, no, maybe I shouldn't have given them nuts, but the parents were with them, so I think that was okay. All right.
Nuts all round.
What's anaphylactic, I guess, is the next.
Look, anything can be delicious. Yeah. I love a banana sandwich. Sounds like both ends working at once.
Ah, fantastic.
What is delicious, listeners? Call us up.
Now, let's get into the nitty-gritty here, folks.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear Weet-Bix. I know they're delicious.
Yeah.
What are you doing to the Weet-Bix?
So
you're chucking yogurt at it.
Creation, stuff you've come up with.
What are you into? Well, when you're really just alone and no one's around to judge you,
yeah.
What do you get? What are you tucking into?
Oh, you keep it on food.
Yeah. Like, some sort of jingle.
Oh, that looks so delicious.
I put the wrong timing for song here, and I'm just going to look like a maniac.
But when you put it in, surely you were, like, rehearsing it as it was going in.
So you put it in yourself.
And only now you realise that it doesn't fit with the lyrics.
1-3-3-5-3.
What was happening when you were putting it in?
Yeah, that's the call. 1-3-3-5-3.
California, the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Oh, I'm feeling peckish already. That's what we're saying up Talk Back Mountain. Oh, what's delicious? Example,
said Cavalier.
Hi, Ruben.
At home.
Okay. What's delicious, bro?
Vegemite, jam, and egg.
Vegemite jam and egg, Reuben.
Yeah, it's awesome.
What flavour jam?
Strawberry.
But doesn't the bitterness of the Vegemite sort of bite the jam?
No, it gives it the sweet and sour taste.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
But I'll often have sweet and sour pork in my cornflakes. So maybe this is a kind of similar kind of vibe. Good on you, Reuben.
Thanks,
bit of egg holding it all together.
Just keeping it down, keeping the protein up.
I don't know, Reuben. Whether that really is delicious or just whether these callers want you to go and try this afternoon. They're probably up to.
Hi, Chris.
How you going, guys?
Excellent. What's delicious?
It's not me, but a mate of mine. So his missus doesn't touch his ice cream, he puts chili flakes in it.
Wonderful idea, Chris, because I used to...
Just let the sound play.
There it is. Hey, Chris, because, you know, I used to love a Maxi Bon in me youth, and I was going out with a girl that refused to buy an ice cream, but would insist on 3 or 4 bites of my Maxi Bon.
Yeah, right.
I should have done this very poor. I think it would have worked as well, but I should have been
very intrigued. But what's the... So, what kind of flavour do you get out of that?
Oh, I have no idea. I don't want to try it, mate.
Oh, okay.
It wouldn't be a real good one, I bet.
Thanks, Chris.
Cheers, boys.
Nice talking to you.
I don't know whether it's really delicious, but there's obviously a security issue.
Be right. Hi, Chris. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you guys?
Excellent, bro. What's delicious?
Box-serve ice cream with deep-fried chips and using the chips as the spoon.
I hear that.
What's a fast food company? They're the best one.
I think I know the one you mean. And do you go so far as to get a sundae? So do you eat kind of caramel-flavoured chips as well?
Yes, I do, but only the strawberry, though. The strawberry's the one for me.
Yeah, because you're a man of taste and poise.
That's right.
That's right. So instead of a flake bar in the sundae, get hot chips.
It's got to be the hot chips. The flake just ruins the taste.
I'll often have a soft serve and then just use a rack of lamb as a spoon. It's some real...
Okay, I won't go that far.
Yes, it's a seduction every day.
Thank you, Chris. I'm enjoying this photo, by the way.
It's grueling.
Hello, Greg. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks. How are you going?
Excellent. What's delicious?
Peanut butter and coleslaw sandwiches. No, I used to have them as a kid all the time.
Did you have
all my mates used to reckon I was absolutely nuts.
So what do you? How does it go down, Greg? Because the mayonnaise would be quite tangy, and then there's cabbage in there. How does the peanut butter fit into this?
Beautiful. It gives it a sweet taste over the top.
Yeah. Good on you, Greg.
This is quite a picnic we're assembling.
Sweet.
Let's boot at home.
Okay. One more. And thanks for not taking part, you two. Hi, Mark. How are you?
Good, thanks, Gus. Yourself?
Excellent. What's delicious?
I'll tell you, it's an English muffin. You rip it in half, of course. Put it in the toaster. Mm-hmm. And on top, you put Nutella and peanut butter. So you sit down at the breakfast table on the couch as I do.
Well,
you
think
yourself, oh, how good is this every morning?
Oh, wow.
Correct. Everything's going through the peanut butter prism, isn't it?
It's right. And how many, goes in the toaster for an English muffin at your place?
2.5 Well, you just chuck it in once because it's unlike a crumpet because that takes forever.
Yeah, that's
right.
That
makes you late for work. You just chuck it in at once. Nice golden brown. Nutella, peanut butter on top. Snickers, here we go.
You got it, Mark. Yeah. If Foxtel hasn't signed you up for a show on the Food Channel, then they are fools to themselves.
I've never seen Ed looking so happy.
That's a really good topic.
Look at the ones we missed out on. Chocolate cake and bacon from Drew.
Weet-Bix and soy sauce I've done before. It's no Weet-Bix and Worcester sauce, I can tell you that.
Our apologies to Drew and Fru on hold.
All right, I'm seeing this as a whole channel on Foxtel will be winding up this show. The Ed Cavalier Food Channel.
Really good stuff. The chili on the ice cream, dead set. Winner, I'd say there. Well done.
All right, forget about snacks there because we've got a man coming in next who knows where all of your bodies are buried.
I love him.
He's got a lot to say. Rob Charlton.
I compare them to listening to a radio station with what they call the white noise, where you haven't got the station. And it's just...
Nissan Navara, huge pulling power, rugged good looks. That could describe our guest today, Rob Carlton.
I for one applaud the fact that you've chosen not to shower until your last shower.
I honestly do. You seem like a nice enough bloke, and that kind of salt and vinegar smell is really quite something.
It's a station promotion. We can't go into details. We just did what's delicious.
Yeah.
You have something for that, Rob?
I do indeed, my friend. Salt and vinegar chips with tomboy.
Oh,
dear. Well,
challenging your mouth to deal with
it. But just not any homework. Christmas homework.
So the smell of the studio must be mouth-watering.
Richard, you said some pounds since I've last been in. Richard, can I say,
I've been on a program.
You wear that slim face beautifully.
I was filling out the captain last year. That was a cry for help.
It was a cry for help, a cry we never heard.
What are you saying off here? Rob, the last time you were here, Richard was talking about some relationship he was having with a woman in Bendigo. What was that about?
Every now and again, Richard, you would ring me. Late at night, mostly. And once we obviously worked through the tears and the years, okay, Richard, the cat down the phone. He then talked about this Bendigo lady friend.
Oh, that's a sort of a love nest.
It was not dissimilar to a love nest, or a hostess nest, if you will. but it turns out now I was being made a fool of, a chump, a late night Nancy. None of this was true.
No, it was true. Well, I'm sure Richard Kilbrey will be pleased to hear about that.
A great listener, Rob.
Oh. Listen here, I am a good listener. Fruit and pistachio nuts, mate. You were trying to tell the kids that that was fun. I was listening. And you know, I wasn't really listening, Richard. I was judging.
Yeah. Well, there'll be plenty of judging in this hour because we're going to talk about your fine new series, Shand on Magnet.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to sort of, put it into a box, but it does involve an incompetent filmmaker. Not necessarily incompetent.
A passionate filmmaker.
Yeah.
He truly thinks he's a great documentary maker.
But is that truly the case?
Our reality is he's fitting wedding parties anyway.
I got it. Well, we want to hear about your filmmaking debacle. That is the music about to run out. Have we ever done that? I'm going to be the first man to make it happen here again. Who knows the thoughts? Maybe don't know your face. What's that ad that you're in all the time with you and Cyril Morris?
Oh, there's a Qantas ad at the moment. I'm beating about my things. I got one of those heads. Okay,
yeah.
Look, again, now Richard obviously doesn't think it's attractive, and whatever. Yeah. You know, opinions, opinions.
What's your lookalike? You told us last time.
I'm like the love child of Peter Sterling and Jacko.
Sterling and Jacko.
I cross codes.
Or if Joel Edgerton had got a brother that had been kept in the basement, like a secret evil brother.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Rob.
So sort of the basket case.
I'm not sure I like where this is going.
No, fair enough, Robbie.
Eh? Well, I mean, look, okay.
What? Hey, it's not a Franklin. No.
Well, hello. I actually have an issue. Before, when you were saying I was doing a breast fruit bowl against the glass cone,
yeah.
I was a cry for help. I was stuck to the glass. I was trying to get... Now, don't ask me why I had my shirt off, and that had nothing to do with teabagging. See ya. I was trying to get through the glass here, and I stuck to it.
Yeah.
Like a little rubber sucker.
Yeah, part of your body suctioned, so it was very confronting from this side. I can tell you that.
And if I didn't buy those Latham Mandas when he was in fashion, I would have come off without your help.
Let's get to Shandon Pictures.
Let's go.
Now, this is a great new series.
Wonderful.
I've seen the first two Fs.
Yes.
Ed Cavalier's in the first one.
Ed Cavalier's playing the loneliest cousin in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Episode one is about a couple. So John Shandon's this guy that he loves the documenter and he wants to shoot the truth.
That's right.
But he's trying to cheat and he tends to shoot weddings and parties and, dog lovers. First episode is a wedding video when a couple getting married. A first cousin.
Yeah.
So I scoured the earth looking for an appropriate cousin, Maria. And of course, look, had to look no further than my dear friend, Ed Cavalier.
Thank you very much.
And see, I tell you what, and up close, and I've never looked at him that closely.
No.
But with the wisdom of cameras, we got a few close-ups, and he's got a whoopee eye.
I do.
Yeah, in a close-up situation, there isn't anybody that fits the bill of cousin lover.
Closer than Ed Cavalier. It's a very sort of wistful performance that you've extracted from him, I have to say.
Can I say, like, joke aside, whoopee eye, ignore.
It's getting more whoopee as they get older.
I didn't want to say. I didn't want to say, but for a moment I thought I'd bring you a mirror so that we could slot it next to your eye so that you could see straight. But that again, that's witch doctoring at best, and let's not do that. It is a beautiful, beautiful performance.
Yes.
And let me say to those people out there that have touched a cousin, I'm not judging this, right? This is a celebration of that sort of life.
Yeah.
These people have been forced into the cupboard and the closet and the basement too long.
Too long.
They've been down there.
Yeah.
And if we can take one example of greatness from the royal families of England and France, it's cousin life. And that, what?
Well, it's true, and let's be honest, we've all, if we haven't done it, we've thought about it.
Again, over to you, Ed, go on.
No,
let's explore that.
No, I think that everyone's been in the situation at an extended family gathering.
Where you're scouring water it down.
Hang on.
Ameliorate the dirty truth of your cousin love.
But you wouldn't know in Ed's family because the family tree is so...
This is what I'm saying.
Family bramble.
It's convoluted.
That's why I've got to go
mulberry bush.
I've got to have, the genealogy of everyone laid out in front of me before we hook up. But you could well be one of your relatives.
Without a shadow of a doubt.
Could be anyone out there.
How are you going, you say? And you
and they all look a bit like you, don't they?
Well, some of the Chinese ones don't,
but that's another story.
Now, where can people see Shandong Pictures?
Okay, so Shandong Pictures is on Movie Extra.
Okay.
It premieres on Foxtel Saturday the 10th.
Right, so you've got to have Foxtel, and then you've got to have what I don't have, which is the Movie Extra package as well.
Yes, my friend, but now it's Chitone. Look, you're a lovely bloke.
Yeah.
And we'll figure this one out. Yeah,
really?
Yeah, well, you know, I lied about the lovely stuff.
Oh, man.
Okay. So, no, the thing about the guys over at Movie Extra is they're pretty kind of new age, funky guys. So in terms of being able to download the show, find the show, this is the key. We're moving into this great new technology. So if you go to their website, how about you just Google Shandong?
Yeah, sure.
You can download these things and you can find the show. But it is on Foxtel. Get amongst it. There's a lot of cars in line. But that's just first episode.
First episode.
No, look, can I say that it's tasteful cars in love.
Yes.
And there's a little, I think everyone will see a little bit of themselves in this cars in action.
Yeah. All right. There's a carrot to dangle. Beautiful.
And what date? When does this start? Saturday, 10th of November. 6:30 is the thing. And then they do repeat it.
I think it's Funniest Home Videos.
So we were aware of that clash and what a popular and great show that is. So we've also programmed it at 10 o'clock on the following Thursday.
Yeah.
10 p.m. Ed, I know you'll be asleep, but IQ, link it. Who are you going to do?
All right, that's sorted. That's the business out of the way. Let's get down the shallow end. Next, we'll get this. A musical ending to an emo classic there. That's My Chemical Romance.
Boom!
On Triple M and Rob Carlton is here.
Welcome to.
And he's providing booze at the moment.
Boom!
He's pretty much free of charge, available for download.
Oh, he's mixed it up.
Mixing it up.
Yeah. Rob, did you discover young Ed Cavalier here? Is that fair to say? You're kind of a mentor figure to him? Or?
I would say so. The first time Rob gave me my first job hosting theatre sports at the University of Sydney, an institution that's been going for 18 years.
Well, that's a lie. I didn't give him his first job. I told him how to assume the mantle of the first job.
He came to me. He's a lovely kid, wide-eyed and really, you know, fun-eyed.
You know, call it what you will.
Fun-eyed is what you say.
Skew-eyed. And he said, look, I really want to do this theatre sports job. How do I apply? And I said, well, dude, this is the university. You don't apply. You just set it all up. You organise classes, and then you go and inform the people that are paying you that you're now the new theatre sports host.
Did that work?
Yeah, it did, man. When there's a power vacuum and you fill it, you're the guy.
That's Charlie. And they gave me an office and everything, Rich.
Oh,
I had a computer.
Have you got a bucket for minties? Did you do good minty work?
Yeah, we had some minty work. Yeah. Yeah. But I knew that Rob was my guy. When I got to university, the first week I was there, him, Adam Spencer, and Andrew O'Keefe from Deal or No Deal were playing theatre sports in a team known as Lick Me, I Know You're Dirty.
Play with the day.
He's my guy.
What a thing that was.
And it's amazing. It's a fact, not widely known.
No.
The word Lick Me, I Know You're Dirty can be sung to almost any major tune. It sounds fantastic.
Yeah, well, Ed does maintain that tradition of trying to think of an X-rated version of every song on the Triple X playlist.
Oh, hello.
What's the Rob Thomas one you love? What about his wee small penis?
We can't
say small penis. The kid's coming out of school in about 2.5 minutes. Get out of his system now.
Oh, dear me. I'm a sponsor.
Loads of time. You're both loads of time.
I'm feeling a little... I'm leaving a little quiet.
Let's try and clean things up with music. I've had a lot of requests. Trent Wiseman is just the latest to request this classic Kim Beazley press conference.
Mr. Beazley, do you expect the Labor Party to form a unified view with regards to uranium at any time in the future?
Why? Of course not. Why would we do that? That's not what the party's about. Agreeing on things. Wait, why would we go down that path?
Well, the suggestion is that the party's left is about to cave in on the Three Mines policy.
Well, look, if that happens, I'll change my mind back again. I mean, we can't have the Labor Party having one view on things.
But it's this kind of squabbling that's seen your approval rating drop to its lowest point ever.
Well, I don't agree with that. I think it can go a lot lower. I think I can get it down to single figures. I'm not going to be able to do that if we start having unified views.
Right. Just what is the Labor Party about these days?
Look, you've seen the news. It's about fat blokes, glasses and beards, standing in a town hall on a cold night, reality show about things that people don't really care about anymore. Versus blokes in shiny suits. They're basically the Liberal Party with a different coloured jersey. We worked very hard to get it to that point. I was just going to piss all that away now.
Oh, Mr. Beasley, do you realise that uranium earns us more than half of what we earn from cheese exports?
But I like cheese. Of course I like cheese. Who said I don't like cheese?
Nobody.
Cheese is great. Are you suggesting we could build a reactor that's powered entirely by cheese?
No.
Cheese power. A cheese-powered economy. It's clean, delicious energy.
What are you talking about?
Cheese. I think we should be exporting cheese.
Well, we are exporting cheese.
I like cheese. I want some cheese. Can I have some cheese?
Mr. Beasley, if we could put cheese aside for a moment, what do you say to these polls that suggest that you haven't got a hope in hell of winning the next election?
I don't say anything. I just get photographed digging a hole. Getting a kitty on the head. Waving from a plate. Reading some cheese. I really like cheese.
Yes, you mentioned that. Does Martin Ferguson like cheese?
I don't know. You'd have to ask him. If he does like cheese, then I don't like it.
And if he's middling on cheese?
Well, then I'll be photographed at school, patting a kitty on the head, smiling for no reason at all, sending him on his way, saying, when you go up, son, have some cheese.
Right, we're just mentioning cheese for no reason at all now, aren't we? Do you think it's possible a piece of cheese would do a better job leading the Labor Party?
I know. Do the public like cheese?
Yes, I think they do.
Oh, well, no, then I'll be staying on.
On Triple M, just for a change, let's not movie.
I'm the co-director. I directed with my mate Alex Wine. We won Top Fest together.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Did you make, what was that film you did called Carmichael
and Shane? And that was a lovely little piece about choosing a favourite child. And so I've had a lot of requests from people around the globe to obviously follow up material on that. and I stand by it 100%. If you don't have a favourite child, you're not parenting properly.
There you go. Well, let's move on to Tom Shandon, your character in this show. Now, he's a filmmaker, an ambitious filmmaker.
Yeah, he's an ambitious filmmaker. He's trying to do his best. He's got a heart of gold.
Yeah, often he's in tears, though.
Oh, look, it's a tragedy waiting to happen. He's one of those guys that accelerates relationships. So filmmaking debacle, Tony.
Yeah.
Right up Tom's alley.
That's what we're doing. And now it doesn't have to be professional filmmaking. It could just be something you've shot on your phone at a nightclub or at school.
Doesn't that hark back to upskirting? You're a lovely bloke, but, probably terrible offences there. 5 to 10 in the big house.
We loved just doing films with fancy shots in them. You know, when you're a kid, I wanted a fancy shot. Yeah. And I remember reading about how in Clockwork Orange, I was too young to have seen it, that Stanley Kubrick wanted to shoot a point of view shot of when Malcolm McDowell tries to kill himself, jumps off the building.
Oh, yeah.
So what he did was he just got a camera and threw it out a window.
There you go.
He literally destroyed a camera to get this shot, which is quite dodgy when you look at it.
Better than throwing the actor out the window. I think happily, Stanley, he did make a choice.
Many, many takes to get that right. But I remember going, okay, how can we do this? How can we get a plummet from a building? And we got it on a sort of a bungee rope. We got the Shinon Super 8 camera. Attached it to a bungee rope.
Where'd you get a bungee rope?
Oh,
it's New Zealand. It's everyone. They're braids. They're hair braids over there.
You're born with one instead of an umbilical cord.
New Zealand, a bungee rope.
I just want to go back. Sorry. But no, so that was the idea. Someone did all the maths, all the measurements, threw it off,
down, didn't touch the ground, bounced up, smashed to pieces on the underside of a window sill. There you go, end of production. But that's more of a technical error.
It is indeed.
We want to hear more just disasters that have happened because something shouldn't have been filmed that was.
Well, Tom Chandon has one where this guy comes on and wants the last video will and testament.
Oh, yeah.
And he's dying of cancer. Right, and he wants to put his last thoughts down to his boy. He's not telling him he loves him.
Mm-hmm.
But Tom just thinks he's crap talent.
So, he's just looking pasty, you know, he's lifeless. Can we get someone else in for this?
Yeah, so there's a bit of judgment, and that turns fair state for Tom. He does his best, but, the guy's going to die anyway.
Well, we're talking funny at home videos.
Yeah.
But now, this is the one I keep harking back to. Last year, Robbie, I made a video for funny at home videos. Myself dressed as a giant mouth, Josh Lawson as a director/camera operator,
mm-hmm.
and another actor, Travis Cotton, arrives home. I scare him, mm-hmm. he turns around, smacks me in the face, comedy ensues, this guy gets a fridge.
Yeah, it's exciting stuff.
They refuse to show it.
Like monkey.
Thank you. And this has been going on for 2 years now.
Yeah, it's an ongoing thing.
I've submitted it twice, and they just will not play it.
They call me.
Do they?
They rung me, said, look, we think it's funny. Now, here's the thing. They think it's funny. They think you're a real talent.
Do they?
They do. They really think you're a goldmine waiting to be tapped. But it's the fact that it just reeks a little bit like it's a setup. And the thing with Australia's funny is,
genuine accidents is what they want.
Yeah, that's true. Know. That's true.
Yeah.
And when you're talking about magic of the movie,
yes.
and they're talking about classic art end up, fall over, smash your teeth. Yeah. And it's a different genre.
Thank you for finally saying it.
No, it's out. The elephant has been named.
You just look happy now. This is like the Fergalicious dog all over again.
I want you to sing that, by the way. That was an awful business. There was so much hope. There's kids out there listening, thinking, we've got to get the Fergalicious song, man. You build it up. You don't respect them, right? What offends me, Cavalier, is your contempt for the listener.
What about we make it today's key phrase at the end of the show?
What about, I'm not doing it because I got the music wrong.
Well, it's like,
if it's not Britney, honestly, mate, well, look, if that's the case, you wouldn't look at anything because God got your eyes wrong.
It's turned ugly. It's turned ugly. That's a lot of fingers, Nicky Hamilton. I know. We could go to a break. Call us with your filmmaking disaster. Big or very small. 133-53.
Well, consider going top or sorry, the news.
Around the nation, it is. Get This is on right now. If you're listening to your radio, Rob Carlton is here.
Hello.
Having trouble putting sentences together today. You can just take these syllables and assemble them at home on your computer into a coherent phrase. Filmmaking debacles. There's one. We're talking about them. Who's got one in Cavalier?
G'day, Adam.
G'day, how are you going?
Excellent, mate. What happened?
Well, a friend of mine was doing practice laps at Phillip Island. He was aspiring to be a superbike racer.
Fair enough.
And all he got when he was supposed to look back over his footage and see how he'd done was me talking on my phone and missing every shot at the camera and into the straight.
Adam's filming practice slap. Dirty little footage. What sort of phone call was that?
Was the footage still entertaining though?
It was all right. So you did your job.
Yeah, I'm going to AFI, so I must have done something, right?
Well, yeah, unfortunately, I was talking about the guy who was riding on his missus, so it didn't work out too well.
That is a disappointment.
Are you together now, though?
No, actually, they're not.
Yeah, but the footage on YouTube is spectacular.
G'day, Kim, how are you?
Oh, I'm great, boys. How are you doing?
Excellent. Talk us through your filmmaking debacle.
Oh, okay. One of my friends decided to make a film called Bloody Manners, and ironically about a radio presenter who got killed by one of his fanatical fans.
Right.
I was the dubious assistant who got killed off first, and I had awful special effects all shoved down my shirt. It's the most humiliating and uncomfortable experience of my life.
You got killed, but it's stuck awful into your shirt to sort of make it
fly out when you got killed?
Oh, yeah. It was terrible. Great special effects, but, it was terrible.
Was it a tight T-shirt, Kim?
Yeah, it was. Tight white one.
I'd like to email a photo. But I find, when you're a kid and you start making a film, generally you work outwards from the gunshot wound, I find. from the decapitation. We can get them right. Everything else will fall into place.
Fall into line.
Don't. I've been killed on too many Australian shows.
Yes,
have you ever gone the awful shirt yourself, Robbie?
No, I tell you, Kim, I could have done with you on the odd occasion. never have I been jammed with awful.
We'll hook you up off air. Thank you, Kim. Time for one more filmmaking disaster, Ed.
Good morning, Adam.
How you doing, Ed?
Yeah.
Hey, Rich.
Hey, Adam.
Of course, Rob, how you doing?
Oh, couldn't be better, Jeff.
Oh, it's good. Yeah, well, I was doing my Year 12 movie production last year, so, it was worth a substantial amount of my score and everything.
Fair enough.
And I had this intense scene between the hero and the villain of the movie in the school hallway.
Right.
And, I was going through the last playthrough thinking, yeah, it's all good. All of my transitions are really sweet.
Yeah.
But anyway, I listened, so I turned the volume up really loud. And there's actually what had got caught on one of the mics that was set in a locker. It was two guys talking about Weekend Action.
And how fruity was it getting?
Fruity enough to, get rid of the PG rating, definitely.
Right, so did you just abandon the scenario you'd embarked upon and just made this the main feature?
I was thinking of, sort of getting a sub-narrative going on, but instead I just chucked the mic in the hallway and just made ambient noise. It was... everyone wanted that.
That's a good save, Adam. That's a cop-out. often when you watch the old film, The Ten Commandments, in the background, just people absolutely going for it.
I know.
What, just kissing? More than that.
What, touching?
Yep. All right, we'll have rubbing evidence of that on tomorrow's show. Thank you, auteurs.
Yeah, listen closely, though. One quick apology. Adam, sorry for calling you champ before. That was my homage to real estate agents all over the world.
Thanks for the call, Tiger.
No, great. Ocean glimpses, that's a very nice phrase.
Mm.
Write that down. We're going to get that phrase in before the end of today's show, gratuitously. If we don't get that song from Ed Kemperley next, I'll get this. Count down off the ceiling, please, Rob Carlton.
There's a draft up there.
There is. There's a draft in the roof of our studio.
How long have you been in this studio for?
All this year.
Right. And no one but me has found a draft.
No.
Lurking 3 inches from the roof.
We're too busy worrying about the fact that sunlight gets in here in the year. I'm not very happy about that. Shandon Pictures, movie extra on Foxtel. Fine new series starting on Saturday week.
November 10, mate. Yeah.
It's chock full of good people. You've got my good self in the first one.
Ed Cavalier. If you are an Ed Cavalier fan, please do it. His performance, quite seriously, it's really
fun. Woody
Sampson's in that one. Woody Sampson is in that. He comes back. His character, he plays the reverend that married the cousins.
Mm-hmm.
And then married the twins. That's series two. and then comes back with his own religion.
Oh, right.
A multi-denominational faith.
Any cameos from big time, like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Schwarzenegger does not make an appearance in the show.
Do you like it?
Yeah, we've got Justin Clarke.
Phelpsy. He's great.
Phelpsy comes in for this knockout scene right at the end of the series, and he's just got this beautiful shade of dashed up bling about.
There you go. It's like my torturous attempt to get to our Arnold Schwarzenegger sketch. I better get to it quickly. Let's cross now. Sorry, Rob. To the California bushfires.
Mr. Governor, what can you do to reassure the people of California that they're right to stay?
All I know, right, is that, ladies and gentlemen, the flames have been terminated. I hope that all I know is they have been terminated. And there is no danger because the danger has been terminated.
Mr. Governor,
surely
these people need more reassurance.
Hasta la vista, conflagration. It is ready because we have terminated all of the threat of all the danger.
But what specifically have you achieved?
Because no one need to carry away the specific details, right? They just need to know that the danger has been terminated.
Never put it this way, right? The flame that you see that was burning up all day, your whole sense and stuff, right? All of that, right, will not be back.
Is in that he comes back. His character, he plays the Reverend that married the cousins, and then married the twins. That's series two. And then comes back with his own religion. A multi-denominational faith.
Any cameos from like big time, like Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Schwarzenegger does not make an appearance in the show.
Do you like?
Oh,
yeah,
we've got Justin Clarke.
Phelpsy
comes in for this knockout scene right at the end of the series, and he's got this beautiful shade of kind of dashed up bling about.
There you go. It's like my torturous attempt to get to our Arnold Schwarzenegger sketch. I better get to it quickly. Let's cross now. Sorry, Rob. To the California bushfires.
Mr. Governor, what can you do to reassure the people of California that they're
right
to stay?
All I know, right, is that, ladies and gentlemen, the flames have been terminated. All I know is they have been terminated. And there is no danger because the danger has been terminated. I've become
the boat to travel through time. It doesn't make any sense. There's no need for ghosts to play the happy
people.
That is right, it has to be. They have no place.
In the future,
a flame for return. Okay, they come to the thing, okay, we're really hot. We're going to burn you up. I see that they go, no. This ain't here. I have terminated your right to burn all the property to the ground. Okay, I terminated the
Right.